Welcome to the Bob Siegel Show podcast on the Cross Global Media Radio Network. Visit cgmradio.com/Bob to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform.
All right, so this one's going to be a longer question.
Okay.
So strap in for this.
All right.
This question involves unforgivable sins. Now, most, if not all, interpreters of the Bible agree that one of the unforgivable sins is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, to mean attributing obvious works of God's Spirit to demonic forces, and that is based off of Matthew's gospel. However, in Luke's account, when Jesus talks about blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, and this is in Luke chapter 12, verse 10 I'm referring to, it does not directly follow the part where Pharisees calls him a devil, and the quote about blasphemy seems to be in a different context.
Could you read that? Read to us from there what you think is...
Read
us the Luke 12? Version.
Okay.
I know that in the Matthew 12 version, it's right next to it. Read the Luke version, because I know they're worded differently, but I believe they're more or less saying the same thing.
Okay. So Luke chapter 12, verse 10 says, "And everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but everyone who is blasphemous against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven."
Right, but earlier he did have that exchange with the Pharisees, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, so I think I could clear this up, Brendan. When the Pharisees attributed the work of God to Satan, they were showing an example of that sin. It is one sin, the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, but there are different ways that it could be manifested. The blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is reaching a point where you either know or strongly suspect that Jesus is real because the Holy Spirit is doing a work in your life. In some cases, that work is a miracle, such as when Jesus healed the man and then cast out that demon at the same time. Mm-hmm. Other times, it could just be that our heart is starting to change and we start to get enlightened and we start to sense God's presence. John wrapped this up for us really well in the first chapter of the Gospel of John. He said, here he's really sharing the essence. "The true light was coming into the world, but men loved the darkness more than the light because their deeds were evil." So here's what's going on with the Pharisees. And by the way, I don't believe Jesus is telling them they just reached a point of no return. I believe he's warning them not to go down. Not like, oh, by the way, you don't want to blaspheme the Holy. Oops, you already did it. Never mind, but we have lovely parting gifts for you. That's not what he's doing.
Yes.
He's giving them a warning, but he's saying, gentlemen, you're going down a dangerous road. You see, there's such a thing as sincere doubt. I talk to skeptics all the time. They're not sure the Bible is the word of God. They may not be sure God exists at all. I understand that. I respect that. I think they have a right to ask good questions. But other times we have what I would call insincere doubt, where somebody doesn't want it to be true because the moment they know God exists, they are without excuse to not serve God. So here in the case of the Pharisees, they didn't want to believe that Jesus was the Messiah because Jesus was challenging them. He was calling them hypocrites. He was calling them whitewashed tombs with dead bones inside.
Right.
He was calling them golden teacups with gringy old tea leaves inside. They had no motive to want to believe this guy, but they tried to go, well, we don't know that he's the Messiah. He really hasn't proven himself. He hasn't shown the credentials. He was really the Messiah. He should show us a sign. He kept hearing this, Jesus, show us a sign, show us a sign. Finally, Jesus gives them a sign. And the sign was that he cast this demon out of somebody and healed the person at the same time, physically. They go, he did that by the power of Satan. Okay, the blasphemy wasn't that they were attributing the works of God to Satan, horrible as that was in its own right. The blasphemy is, show me a sign, but I've already decided I'm not going to accept the sign. If it was somebody in 21st century America, they probably wouldn't attribute it to Satan. They go, well, it's just your mind trip. It's the placebo effect. They would come up with other things. It's somebody who's showing not genuine, sincere doubt, but disingenuous doubt. Once again, you reach a point where you know or strongly suspect that Jesus is real because the Holy Spirit is doing something in your life, maybe a miracle, maybe something going on in your heart as he's purging your heart, and you abort that process, you push him away. That is the beginning of the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Now, why do they call it the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit? It's not because the third person of the Trinity has a peculiar sacredness that the other two members of the Trinity don't have. They're all co-equally God.
Gotcha.
It's because it's the Holy Spirit who is the one who makes us know. known. That's why Jesus says, you can blaspheme me, but not the Holy Spirit. See, I go through this with people. They go, hey, I don't know that Jesus lived. I don't know what went on in 33 AD. But then the Spirit starts doing something in their lives, and now this is different.
Yeah.
They may not know what happened in 33 AD, but they know what's going on in their heart right now. And if they push it away, that's the blasphemy. And even then, it's the warning if you continue your whole life with this. Basically, blaspheming the Holy Spirit, rejecting Christ, they're really the same sin. But blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, that title focuses in on how that sin works its way through our heart because it is the Holy Spirit making Jesus known.
Gotcha.
Somebody who says, well, there's a lot of hypocrites in church and church is boring, so I don't want to become a Christian. That's understandable, and that's not the same as blaspheming the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Well, that actually does lead to the questions that I have here, too. Are there any other sins that you can commit that will lead you not to go to heaven? And then since you were talking about John as well, in 1 John chapter 15, verse 16.
The sin into death, is that what
that's correct.
Same sin. Same. He's just calling it by another name.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
The sin into death, the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, same sin.
Okay. So then the other question goes, so why does he also say that there is sin that does not lead to death? When Paul clearly says that the wages of presumably all sin is death in Romans chapter 6.
Yeah, well, the Bible talks about death and then second death. All of us deserve death for our sins, but Jesus paid for every sin you or I have ever committed, past, present, and future, except for the sin of rejecting him and refusing to accept his forgiveness, which again is the same as the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
And so when somebody gets sent to hell, they call that the second death. We read about that at the end of Revelation. Everybody, even people that aren't Christians, even the unsaved, rise from the dead. Now, if they died in their sins, why are they rising from the dead? Because Jesus paid for all their sins. But then, if they had blasphemed the Holy Spirit and denied Christ, they are now sent to hell. And here's the irony. They're paying for the one sin of having rejected Christ.
Yes.
They could be a murderer. And they're in hell. Now, does the murderer deserve to go to hell? Yeah, of course a murderer deserves to go to hell. But Jesus paid for that sin. Had he repented, he would not have been paying for that sin himself. And so what he's paying for is not the sin of being a murderer, but for the sin of refusing to repent of being a murderer. So it's a real ironic situation.
I could see that. Yeah. Okay.
The Bob Siegel Show podcast is a production of Bob Siegel and Cross Global Media. Visit us online and subscribe to the show at cgmradio.com/Bob.